Job asked a question in the book of Job, chapter 9, that I would like to just spend just a few moments on this evening. In Job chapter 9, in verse 2, it says, "I know it is so of a truth, but how should man be just with God?" Leading up to this point, we know the story of Job well. I'm sure each and every one of us do, that in one day when Satan had one conversation with God, Satan left the conversation with God and wreaked havoc in Job's life. Job lost everything that he can imagine substance-wise. He lost his wealth. He lost his fortune. He lost his children. I can't imagine what his mental state was that day. The very next day, Satan comes back and visits him one more time, and now he attacks his physical well-being and attacks his body. Breaks out in boils, so much so that he just to find just the smallest bit of relief has to break some pottery and scrape it against his skin just to release some agony in his life in this moment. He's in such a bad shape that his wife comes up to him and says, "Please just curse God and die. Get whatever you're doing over with. I can't stand to see you like this anymore." His friends come, and Job is in such a terrible, miserable condition that his friends don't even recognize him when they first show up, and they spend 7 days in complete silence. And then Job answers his mouth after 7 days of silence and curses the very day that he was born and says, "If this is what life really is all about, if life itself is full of heartache and sorrow and pain and agony, I don't want to be a part of it. I wish I'd never, ever been part of it." And one of his well-meaning, miserable comforter friends, his name is Eliphaz, he stands up and addresses Job and says, "Job, you have the wrong idea here. You ought to consider this a blessing. You ought to think of this as a good time in your life, because God cares so much about you that he wants you to repent. He's sending you all of this pain and all of this sorrow and all this sadness to lead you back to repentance to him." And Job responds and says, "That's so foolish. Do you not understand the agony and the pain and the sorrow that I'm in? This cannot be from God. This just can't be. It's totally opposite of God. That just can't be." And Bildad stands up and addresses Job. And if you allow me to put it this way, "Job, you're being so foolish and silly. Don't you know that the way that God deals with wicked people is exactly what he's doing to you right now? So whatever you're hiding, whatever you're trying to keep secret, quit doing it. Address it. Get it out in the open. Because God is a just and holy and sovereign God. God doesn't just treat people this way for no reason. You must be doing something wrong." And here's Job saying, I know what you're saying about God is true, Bildad. I know that God is just. I know that he's right. I know that he's sovereign and righteous and holy. And I know that. I know that's true. But if that really is true, if I really haven't done anything wrong, how in the world can any man ever be just in the eyes of God? He says, "If he will contend with him, he cannot answer him one of a thousand." He says, if man could ever plead his case, he wouldn't have a single chance. He wouldn't have anything to stand on his own merits, because God is No matter how just and perfect and upright and holy man is, God is just that much more that it doesn't even matter. He actually says in verse 30, if I wash myself with snow water and make my hands never so clean, yet shall thou plunge me in the ditch, and mine own clothes shall abhor me. For he is not a man as I am, that I should answer him, and we should come together in judgment. Neither is there any daysman betwixt us, that might lay his hand upon us both. Job says, I don't understand how anybody ever in the history of forever could ever be just in the eyes of God. This particular scene that we read here is a scene that is far too familiar to the children of God on this side of glory. Ones that don't have either never heard the gospel or don't fully understand the gospel message and what it really means to the child of God. This scene, every child of God can relate to. You know how I know? Because I can be like that sometimes. I can be just like Job is in this particular scene. I'm not calling Bildad Satan, but you know what Bildad is doing to Job in Job chapter 8? He is accusing Job of doing something that Job can't answer. Do you know what Satan does to the children of God? He comes to them personally and accuses them of all of their wrongdoings. And not only accuses them and tells them the children of God's accusations and their crimes and their iniquities. Not only does he tell them to that child of God, but he also tells them in the throne room of heaven. He goes there and throws accusations to God against you over and over and over again. And you know, there's so many children of God that are in this state right here that see themselves black as sin and they can't do anything about it. And it doesn't matter what they do, that they're still going to mess things up. They know who they are. They can see themselves and they can see how good and great and just God is. And they say, there's just no way this could ever happen. How is it even possible? But for the child of God that's looking for that answer, there was one who took your iniquities, your sin, your blackness, as if it was his very own. We read about Jesus Christ, who justified us in the eyes of God. We read in Romans chapter 3, where he says, in Romans chapter 3, in verse 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The answer to Job's question on how any man could ever be just in the eyes of God is very simply, through the grace and redemptionary work of Jesus Christ, and solely by Jesus Christ. Because we couldn't do it in and of ourselves. There's nothing that we could do in and of ourselves to justify us in the eyes of God. And that's the state that Job was in. He says, there's nothing I could do. There's no one that could go between us, me and God, and plead my case. That's the state he was in. But the gospel doesn't just end there by Jesus Christ doing that one thing for you. We read that Jesus Christ is also our mediator and our high priest. One thing that Job longed for, one thing that he said was impossible for a man to stand between man and God, Paul tells Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 3, he says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. Paul addresses this one issue that Job even had. He says, that there is one person that stands in between, that is our daysman, that is the mediator, that is the one that can put his hand on both parties and understand and feel and know both sides of the conversation. But we also, in this time, in this day, in our day-to-day lives, some days when Tuesdays come and you wake up in the morning and you just feel the weight of your sinfulness, you just wake up feeling sluggish, that there's a weight on your back that you just can't carry. And there's whispers going on in your mind and in your heart. And Satan's throwing accusations at you like he does each and every day. And saying and whispers in your ear and tells you that there's just no way that God could ever love you. Look at who you are. Look at what you've done. Look at what you're doing in your life. God could never, ever love you. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 33, Paul asks a question. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. You know, when those whispers start to come in your mind and in your heart and in your ears, whether they're coming from you yourself or coming from Satan or just any other thing that may cause you dismay and trouble and sorrow and sadness in this life, if there's ever any condemnation that is hurled your way, point that voice, that doubt, that sorrow, that pain, that anguish, that accusation, point it to Jesus Christ. Not only point them to Jesus Christ, but point them to the cross of Calvary and say, what you think I did do, but Jesus paid that for me. I'm just in the eyes of God because of what my Lord and my Savior did. Go tell Satan to look at the cross of Calvary. Go tell him about what Jesus did for you. And tell them that there is nothing that he can lay to our charge. Because in the eyes of God, it's already taken care of. I'm as white as snow. I have robes of righteousness. Because of what my Lord and Savior in Christ did for me. Whenever we have that same question like Job did in Job chapter 9 and verse 2. Where we understand who God is and we say we know it to be so of a truth. We know that God is just. But how should man be just with God? The answer is Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. May God bless you is my prayer.